morning. If you would get out your songbooks, turn to number 326. Yes, I realize I'm supposed to preach. I thought that was a weird thing to start with. People are like, did Zane just lose it? I mean, he never really had it, but he just lose it? He just thought he was not preaching, singing. But today I would like to talk to you about a couple of the songs that we sing as invitation songs. You know, we always say it's the words that matter and the music, obviously. If the words only mattered, they would be chants, right? So the music does matter. God tells us to sing. But the words are how we teach each other and encourage each other and praise God. So wanted to talk to you all a little bit this morning about these two songs. The first one being Trust and Obey. And what we want to accomplish here is when we sing this song, that we are more in tune maybe with the words than we had been. Maybe it's just a reminder. Maybe you've looked at this song. It's a very common song we sing. You've really looked at the words. You've thought about the words. And if you have, I'm very glad that's what you should have done. And this will be a reminder. But if you haven't looked at this song more closely and thought about some of the verses that we could go to talk about trusting and obeying God, then maybe this will help. So the verse listed under the title is Psalm 2, verse 12. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." This thought of kissing the Son is like kissing the ring, you know, of a king or something like that. It's showing honor. So we should show honor, obviously, to God, to Jesus. And if we do not show honor, there is a righteous anger that God has. But the last part is, blessed are all who take refuge in Him. So when we take refuge in God, when we truly allow Him to be our foundation, our anchor, all of the different songs we sing, I think that really helps us. So let's look at the first verse of 326. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. So, verse 1, with this walking in the light of His way, if we go to Psalm 119, we're going to bounce around a lot in the Scripture today. So when we're singing this, the light of His Word, hopefully we're thinking of Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A very common verse for us to look at. So, if you're walking through the woods at night, and you give, I think I've used this example before even, you give the flashlight to a three-year-old. Because a three-year-old wants to carry a flashlight, right? The three-year-old will be shining that light everywhere, including your eyes. But if you give it to someone who actually has walked in the woods at night, what are they illuminating? Where you're going to step, right? I want to make sure it's not a snake or a snick, which is a stick that looks like a snake. You can die from those too. And you're watching, right? You're looking where you're going because you're in, you know, maybe unfamiliar territory. You're looking to where you're going to place your feet. Is it dangerous? Where do I need to go? And so that's what our life should be like with the Word of God, with His commandments, with His wisdom that He has given us, is walking in the Lord with the light of His Word. The next verse that I thought about for this is James 4:6-8. But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So again, this thought, He abides with us still. When we do His good will, He abides with us still. This drawing near to God is not asking God, hey God, would you watch out for me today? This drawing near to God is that plus obedience, plus love, plus faith. When we abide, when we live with God, we have that protection. We have that peace, and we have God with us. And it's very important that we think about that as we go through life. If you're feeling alone, the only way we can be alone is if we left God. God does not leave us. Never. But He allows us to choose to leave Him. We look in verse 2 of Trust and Obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. So do we bear burdens? Is there sorrow and toil? Of course there is. Life's hard. It's a broken world. People sin against us, against those we love. And we have to struggle against sin. We struggle to have food to eat. But in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens to us in this life, no matter how bad and how evil it can be, if we give our cares, our concerns, our burden to God, we will have peace. No matter how much the world around us is in chaos, we can be at peace. That doesn't mean that we're going to have enough money. It doesn't mean we're going to have health. It means that we understand the Creator of the universe loves us, cares for us, and one day we will spend eternity with Him. This is a very important verse that we need to remember and think about. And I think it really is talked about in this verse in the song. And then the thought of no tears in Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, trial. You see, if we have pain and we know it's going to be temporary, we can endure a lot more, right? But if you never know when the pain's going to end, it can destroy you, right? When is the pain going to end, right? And so this thought that yes, there's pain, there's loss, there's sorrow here. And we don't need to minimize that. It's hard. But we're looking to a place where that isn't the case anymore. This is temporary, and it seems like forever sometimes, but it's temporary. We have to remember that. God is looking out for us. In verse 3 of the song, listen to this verse. This is the culmination of this song. Okay? So if you're leading this song and you skip verse 3, I'm not saying you're going to the bad place, but no. This is a very important verse that we shouldn't skip. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. You see, the reason God does not change some people's lives, the reason people don't have the peace that we just read about, the reason people's lives can be chaos outside and inside of them, is that we often don't lay everything off on the altar, right? As a sacrifice, right? That's when the peace comes. You know, there's that joke. Everybody wants to get heaven, but no one wants to die to get there. Kind of funny. But you're not getting to heaven. I'm not getting to heaven until we die to self. What Romans 6 talks about in other places, but we have to do that and have to think about that. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We have to be a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is consumed, right? You put it on the altar, you do a drink offering, you pour it out, it's consumed. And that's what we must be. We must be consumed with God. We must be consumed with doing His will, with being faithful to Him, consumed with love, consumed with an urgent need to be like Him. If we don't, the details really don't matter. You ever thought about that? Christians don't murder. But if you don't murder, that doesn't make you a Christian. That means you're someone who doesn't murder. There's something else that's required. If you don't lie, that's good. But there are other people who don't lie who aren't Christians. If you do all of these different things, they're important things that God has asked us to do or not do. But if we do not lay ourselves on the altar, if we do not die to self, if we do not take our will and substitute the will of God for our will, these great blessings are not ours. So this is a very pivotal verse in this song that we need to think about. In verse 4, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, but we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. One of the more beautiful things that we gain in this life as a gift from God is in Mark 10. And that's different than Matthew, just in case you did what I did. In verse 29, and Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, he will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. This is a beautiful thought. We gain family. We gain belonging. We gain even, in a weird way, financial security. If I lose my job, if I can't feed my family, I have this family that will help. We gain that today. We gain that when we follow God. We gain that in this fellowship because we're all children of the same God. In Psalm 119, verses 59 and 60. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Or walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. There's an old preacher who says, Christians only lie when they're singing. This is a promise to God, right? And we can look at those Israelites and they're like, you know, will you choose to do what God says or not? And they're like, oh, we will follow God, you know, us and our children. Yes, yes. And we look at them and go, yeah, two pages later, look what they're doing, right? One of the things my dad always really disliked is when someone would pray, please bring us together at the next appointed time. And you're like, they never show up on Wednesday. Why would you pray that? You never show up. You know? You really gonna say that? So, the thought of we need to say and do these things. So let's sing number 326, all four verses.
When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all
trust and obey, for
of the things I don't like about PowerPoint is you can see really what I really intended on covering. My timing was a little bit off. When we sing, we change the world. And that you go, well, Zane, that's pretty big thing. If you take one person's heart and you soften it for a good message, you change the world. If you soften one heart and give it some joy and some peace, that has a huge effect on every person that person will talk to. We have power. We might not have financial power, might not have political power or physical power. We have something much greater through God. And that is the power through the gospel, through the good news delivered to help people, to change their lives, give them peace and comfort and joy, not because we have the power to bestow it, but because God does. And that's a beautiful thing. I chose a picture of kids singing intentionally. We could have done a picture of adults. There's nothing, I think, more beautiful than a 5-year-old belting it out. We must encourage our children to sing. And by that means training, discipline, expectation, lots of patience and lots of love. But this is something that children can fully and totally engage in at a very young age as we worship. 5-year-olds might not get the full ramifications of whatever the lesson is. They might not understand all of the words in a prayer, but they can sing. And it might not be on key, but it will be beautiful. And sometimes it's harder to get the 15-year-old to sing. But it can be beautiful. We are commanded to sing. We're not asked to sing. When we don't feel like singing is when we need to sing the most. Because again, it changes our hearts. And our hearts are what we draw near to God with. So hopefully these things have been helpful to you, and hopefully when we sing Trust and Obey the next time, we will be more familiar with the words and how they are found in Scripture and those Scriptures that they reference. We'll now dismiss the classes.